Lowell Thomas brings the news. From the White House, from the Azores, from Portland, Oregon, comes today's news, as reported by America's foremost newscaster, Lowell Thomas. But first, hear this.
Quiet roads to summer places with someone special. Leafy shadows paint shimmering patterns as you drive. And just being together makes it a very, very special day. If you're driving a GM car, you've already got a great thing going. And there's an easy way to keep it going great. Ask for GM, United Delco, and AC replacement parts. Genuine General Motors parts, made just like the originals to help your car perform like new. Keep your GM car all GM and take that quiet road to a summer place with someone special soon.
And now, here's Lowell Thomas and the news.
Good evening, everybody. President Johnson puts it on the line at a news conference, accusing North Vietnam of trying to take advantage of those Paris peace talks, moving men and supplies into South Vietnam at an unprecedented rate since the U.S. partial bombing halt. Hanoi, apparently, said he, trying to see if we can be pressured to stop the bombing completely without compensatory action on their part. It won't work, said LBJ, adding that any further decisions to reduce the violence must be predicated on some similar restraint from Hanoi. That's our position, and will remain our position, said he. Meanwhile, heavy fighting reported tonight in the Phu Lam district on the outskirts of Saigon. Allied forces attempting to take an estimated 60 Viet Cong infiltrators in a blazing house-to-house battle. And to the north, another major U.S. offensive near Doc To in the highlands, an estimated 10,000 American troops looking for an equal number of North Vietnamese regulars, these said to be freshly arrived from nearby Laos and Cambodia. From the Azores to the Virginia Capes, a giant air and sea search is underway in the storm-tossed Atlantic. A veritable armada of planes, ships, and subs trying to seek out the missing nuclear submarine, the Scorpion, with its crew of 99. Admiral Rickover tells newsmen, "We just don't know what happened. We can't tell." An aide adding that with the passage of time, we must become more apprehensive. Edinburgh, Scotland, Europe's first human lung transplant, a failure. 15-year-old Alex Smith passing away. The lungs that he received 13 days ago from a young girl, unable at last to carry him further. On the Paris news front, a major change in the French cabinet. The education minister tossing in the towel, with Pompidou, the premier, taking over the portfolio in an effort to curb student unrest. At the same time, leftist leader Francois Mitterrand demanding that de Gaulle resign now on the grounds that he, meaning de Gaulle, is no longer able to make history. De Gaulle, he disregards all the sniping. On that Oregon trail, Campaign 68, a flood of votes today in the nation's next-to-last presidential primary, election officials predicting perhaps as much as an 80% voter turnout. Nixon tabbed as the only sure winner on the Democratic side, McCarthy and Kennedy, perhaps a photo finish. You'll be hearing all about it, of course, on this CBS station in a little while. 44 years ago this week, six young American aviators were poised in Japan, heading for the China coast on the next leg of one of the most important flights in all history, the flight that was the forerunner of the fantastic round-the-world flying that is so commonplace now. They were taking part in the most ambitious international air race of all time. Aviators of other nations had a head start, but none of the round-the-world planes, British, French, Dutch, and so on, even got halfway. You may have forgotten the drama of the race to see which nation would be the first to have its plane circumnavigate our planet. Thanks again to the vision and energy of Billy Mitchell, after the race had been underway a year, he did succeed in getting Washington to do something. Donald Douglas, given the assignment to build open cockpit biplanes powered with single-engine Liberty motors, planes christened the Douglas World Cruisers. Four of them started from Santa Monica, then jumped off from Seattle. Named for four American cities, the flagship Seattle, the Chicago, the New Orleans, the Boston. The takeoff from Seattle, April 6, 1924. up to Alaska and across to the Alaskan Peninsula. There, Major Martin and his associate, Al Harvey, crashed in the snowstorm, leaving three planes to go on. And 44 years ago today, there they were overhauling their engines, about to fly from Japan to China. The planes only had a speed of around 70 miles an hour. They had to be serviced often, but eventually they won the great international race, and in so doing were the first to fly the Pacific. They were the first to cross the North Atlantic east to west. Most important, they were the first to circumnavigate this planet. Of the eight airmen who started, four are now doing their flying, perhaps somewhere on the Milky Way, we hope. One had just died. The youngest of the group, known everywhere as Smiling Jack Harding. He and the picturesque Swedish-American, now General Eric Nelson, made the circuit in the plane to New Orleans. Smiling Jack and I did a speaking tour of America after that flight, telling the story, showing the films. And then he went on in the aviation world in association with Captain Eddie Rickenbacker as a pioneer when we were first starting to fly the Mails. And after that, he became an important inventor, many improvements for planes and so on. His Air Force pals have arranged a memorial service for Smiling Jack tomorrow morning at La Jolla, California, where he had made his home. And then an Air Force plane will do an appropriate thing, scatter the ashes of one of the Magellans of the air. Out at sea, Warren, far out over the Pacific, one of the oceans above which he made history.
It seems beautifully fitting, Lowell, that he should join the winds he knew so well.
Graduate student David Crawford was having some extracurricular fun on a vacation in Boston, and then his money was stolen. A ruined vacation? No.
American Express to the rescue!
Good thing David wasn't carrying cash. He was carrying the rescue money, American Express traveler's checks. So he went to the American Express office in Boston, got his money back. His vacation was rescued. You can get your money back for lost or stolen traveler's checks at hundreds of American Express offices around the world. So next trip, carry American Express traveler's checks. Then if you need help...
American Express to the rescue!
American Express traveler's checks, the rescue money. Buy them where you bank.
And now, Lowell, it's time for that final story.
Rather a sad one. At Boston, the last hurrah today for a great horse. Owner Peter Fuller withdrawing Dancer's Image from the upcoming Belmont Stakes. Indeed, he's retiring the three-year-old for good because of bad ankles. Dancer's Image, hard luck horse of the year, surely. Disqualified winner of the Kentucky Derby, disqualified again in the Preakness, now scratched from the Belmont. That's a sort of triple crown in reverse. And so long until tomorrow.
Hello, Feet. How are you? Hey. Well, what's the matter, Feet? Not talking to me?
We're sore.
What about?
We itch.
Well, isn't that from my stockings?
Uh-uh. We're hot and squishy.
My tight shoes. Well, I wash every day.
Our troubles don't come out in the wash. You should get us Menin's Quinsana spray powder.
Menin's Quinsana spray powder?
Yeah, it's new. It cools, comforts, and cushions feet. It soothes, dries, and relieves itch, twitch, and squish.
Well, I got you a spray powder.
Yeah, but new Quinsana spray powder smells so fresh and healthy, the way we'd like to. It could make us happy.
Okay, Feet. I'll get you some new Quinsana spray powder. What do you say?
Well, you make us happy, we'll make you happy. You make someone happy. Get your favorite Feet new Quinsana spray powder. Menin Quinsana. A step ahead in foot care.
Now, this is Warren Moran reminding you to listen again tomorrow evening for Lowell Thomas and the News. This recorded program came to you from CBS News.